It's time for All Things Gardening with Charlie Nardozzi. Hello, Charlie.
Good morning, Mary.
Well, red hair and fair skin aside, the DNA test did confirm that half of me is Irish and Scottish, and I love St. Patrick's Day. I love all green flowers, especially bells of Ireland and shamrock. And as we approach St. Patrick's Day, can you share if we can even grow shamrocks or some close approximation of shamrocks here in Vermont?
Yes, St. Patrick's Day is coming up, and you mentioned some of the plants I wanted to talk about. And it's kind of cool that you like green flowers, because it's not the type of thing that most people are attracted to. But on St. Patrick's Day, everything should be green, right? I was in Chicago once, and they had the Chicago River was dyed green for St. Patrick's Day.
That's commitment right there, but yes.
Exactly. So, but let's talk about the flower side of it. First of all, I've got to do a little poo-poo about those green carnations that are out there. I really don't like them. What they are is white carnations that they dip them in green dye, and so they look green. So it's not like it's a special variety or anything. It is a fabricated flower. So let's not go there. But we can talk about shamrocks. Now, the traditional shamrock from Ireland is a clover. We have an alternative that looks kind of like that, and that's called the oxalis. The oxalis is a little tuber, a little bulb that grows in the soil, and it grows up and it has these three leaflet leaves. It could be green, it could be burgundy colored depending on the variety. It can even be one called Iron Cross that's burgundy in the middle and green on the edges. And what's fun about these is that they have little white or pink dainty little flowers, and they're great as houseplants or even container plants outdoors. So it's a really nice gift to give someone, and there are a bunch of them that will be available around St. Patrick's Day. The cool thing about the oxalis is that if it gets leggy indoors, or if it gets insect infested, or it just doesn't look very good, you can just cut it back to the ground and it'll sprout right back up from those bulbs. So you can rejuvenate it whenever you don't like how it looks. So that's a cool one to grow. There's a few other ones I wanted to mention. There's some mini roses, which are fun, that are popular and available this time of year. These are just miniature versions of a regular rose. You can get a white one or a yellow one, which would be nice for St. Patrick's Day to contrast with your green. And you want to make sure you get ones that do stay small. There are some that get kind of big, but if you can find ones that say about a foot or so tall, that would be great. And they're pretty hardy, so you can grow them indoors, let them flower, and then come spring, you can move them outdoors, and you can have your St. Patrick's Day flower garden with your mini roses in there. And then finally, there's the bells of Ireland that you mentioned, Mary. This is a beautiful green plant. It grows up about 2 feet tall. It has like a foxglove-like stalk to it with green bells on it. And what's nice about this plant is that you can cut it, you can bring it in. It's an annual, so you can start it from seed now. So you can give your favorite Irish person or someone who loves St. Patrick's Day some bells of Ireland seeds this time of year, and you can start them indoors. They take a while to get going. It takes a month to germinate and a few months to get them to a transplantable size, but they could have bells of Ireland in their garden this summer, thinking about St. Patrick's Day extending far beyond that one day in March.
One quick note though, oxalis and foxglove, those are toxic to cats and dogs, if I remember correctly?
Yeah, you do want to be careful with them because, yes, they can be toxic. Any of these houseplants where you're growing them, they can be toxic. So you do want to check and make sure that it's safe to grow.
Got it. Here's a question for you, Charlie, from Lauren in Worcester. Lauren writes, I have a large 8-foot-wide branch-to-branch and 7-foot-tall potted ficus. It's put out lots of fresh growth in the last 2 years since we saved it from its formerly neglected state. It's now in a new pot. It's got good soil, lots of sunshine, regular watering. And Lauren writes, most of the growth is on the exterior branches. It's inside and it takes up tons of room. I'd like to grow more interior branches and get it a bit bushier and less tree-like. Do you have any tips?
Yes, Lorna, that's amazing. You have such a huge ficus tree, and it's great. So you can prune it, and the time to prune it will be coming up very soon, late winter, which in Vermont, well, depends on who you talk to. Could be March, could be April, but pretty soon. And you want to prune back the edges of those long branches. You don't want to prune them more than about a third back. You don't want to take off too much foliage because that can shock the plant. But when you're pruning them back, you want to prune them back to side branches if possible, right above a side branch. If that's not available, if it's just all branchless, you might say, on that side, a horizontal branch, cut them back to where there's a little bud scar. And hopefully by cutting them back, and as long as that branch is green where you cut it, it should send up some new growth and get a little bit bushier. Like I said, though, don't go crazy on this. Do it about a third of the plant at a time. And also, after you prune it, put down a drop cloth or some kind of material on the floor because it might start dripping sap. It's another thing to keep in mind.
Oh, wow. Okay. Here is a question from Martin in White River Junction. Martin writes, "We had a water main break last fall, and the water flooded our yard and vegetable garden, leaving silt on top of our lawn and garden. What steps can we take this spring to prepare our garden for a productive growing season?"
Well, normally, Martin, the best suggestion is to remove that silt because there may be some contaminants, heavy metals, things like that, that are in there that, of course, would not be good for your plants. So I think once spring comes, if you can dig out that silt from that garden and remove it and then come back in with some compost and organic matter, you should be able to grow some veggies in that garden this year.
Okay. And if you have questions, visit vpr.org and search All Things Gardening. You'll find the submission link for questions at the bottom of the post, and you can listen again to this episode wherever you listen to podcasts. Thanks, Charlie.
You're welcome, Mary, and I'll be seeing you in the garden.